Parashas Pinchas begins with the reward that Pinchas is given for this great act that he accomplished in order to save the Jewish people from this terrible magefa, this terrible plague that befell the people when they were enticed by the daughters of Midian and Moab. And Pinchas is given at Briti Shalom, the covenant of peace, and he's really blessed with the kunat olam, with the priesthood forever, for his kina, for his zealousy, for the name of God. And it's as if God is saying to him, saying to us really, that what was motivating him was not a feeling of a personal agenda, but rather the agenda for Kadosh Baruch Hu's honor himself. Parsha then goes on to talk about the laws of the counting of the people, then the nachla, the inheritance of the people. We have the story of Benot Slavchad, the daughters of Slavchad, who said, "Our father only had five daughters, no sons, so are we too to get an inheritance as well?" Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, and indeed was told that Benot Slavchad are correct, and that if there are no male children, so then the female children do inherit the land. We then have the story of Moshe Rabbeinu being told to go up to the mountain to see the land of Israel, for there he will die, and Moshe Rabbeinu requests the leader in his stead. And the final part of the parasha are the laws of the korbanos, the laws of the different sacrifices that were brought, particularly the musaf sacrifices on Shabbat and on the festival. And as Tzfasemet points out so beautifully, a special insight of Tzfasemet, the parasha of Pinchas is usually read at the beginning of what we call the 3 weeks, right? You know, Shivas Tzfasemet is this week in Eretz Hashem. So parasha of Pinchas begins off the period of the 3 weeks. So Tzfasemet explains, in order for us to have some type of ga'aguim, some type of longing for the temple, so immediately at the beginning of the 3 weeks, we set up the sacrifices that were special for Yontif and for Shabbos, so that it should engender within us a feeling of, oh, I wish we could bring those sacrifices. And that lends itself to the spirit of the 3 weeks. What I'd like to speak about today is one particular section within the parasha. And why it's an important section is that most of the Farshim understand that this section is not just dealing with Moshe and his personal request in this particular situation, but really has ramifications to the end of time for all generations. And therefore, I think with that in mind, we need to look at this section, because I think that the lessons and that the concepts derived here are really concepts for our lives that we need to look for. So having said that, let's take a look at source 1, Hashem said to Moshe, "Go up to the mountain of Abarim and see the land that I've given to the children of Israel. You shall see it, you shall be gathered unto your people. You too, as Aaron your brother was gathered in, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Sin, in the assembly strife, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes." Last week's parasha, they were the waters of strife at Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "Go up to this mountain, you're going to see the land of Israel, you're not going to enter in the land." And then we have immediately that Moshe spoke to Hashem. You know, usually in the Torah you have an Hashem spoke to Moshe. It's unusual that you have and Moshe spoke to Hashem. And we know any time it says Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lamor, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lamor, the Lamor, and God spoke to Moshe saying, the saying our rabbis interpret means, I want you to give them a response back. Make sure that which I am telling you is really being understood. You know, make sure it's being heard loud and clear. There are 5 cases where you have the lamor from Moshe's perspective. As if saying to God, I want to make sure, kivyachol, you're understanding me loud and clear, and I have certain requests. The refreshing talk about this. This is one of those examples. Where Moshe spoke to Hashem saying, "May Hashem, God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the assembly, who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall take them out and bring them in. And let the assembly of Hashem not be like sheep that have no shepherd." Hashem said to Moshe, "Take yourself Joshua, son of Nun, a man whom there is spirit, and lean your hands upon him." Therefore, from the qualifications that Moshe is looking for, we're looking for very specific qualifications. We're looking for qualifications of somebody who's going to go out before them, come in before them, take them out, and bring them in. So we have this model of a sheep that needs to have a shepherd over them. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by saying that the quality you need to look for, Moshe, are not all these qualities. These are the qualities of the list And Moshe Rabbeinu is almost giving the job description. I have been in the job. I feel that this is the job description they need. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, not so. All you need in the job description is one quality. It's the quality that Yehoshua has, a man whom there is spirit. And as Rav Chaim Shulevitz in Sichos Musar points out, he says the Torah is pinpointing the particular quality which determined the selection of Yehoshua as the leader of the Jewish people who would bring them into the land of Israel. Why was he chosen over others? His personal greatness was not the determining factor because there were people greater than him, as we see in the list of the Raglim of the spies. The Ramban says they're in order of greatness. He reaches number 5. Kalev is even ahead of him, who reaches number 3. So the quality of Yehoshua is not the quality of greatness. There is somebody greater than him. The quality of Yehoshua, which is a quality God is looking for, is the quality of Ish Asher Ruach Bo, someone who is a man of spirit. Question number 1, what does that quality mean? Why is this quality so important that this is the quality that Moshe Rabbeinu is told is the quality that's going to take the people into the land of Israel? And again, as I mentioned at the outset, and it has to be coming through our heads constantly, is that this conversation is a conversation for all eternity. Where Moshe Rabbeinu is really asking, make sure throughout all of Jewish history, there is somebody watching over this sheep. And God's response throughout Jewish history is echoing, you don't need all those qualities, you need somebody, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, you need someone who has spirit within them. We need to understand, overall question today, what does that mean, a person of spirit, that this is a quality trait that we're looking for? That's question 1. Question 2, which is an overall question before we get to the specifics, it's a very famous statement of the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about, in the continuation of our selection here, that Moshe is told that he should give from his glory upon Yehoshua. To which the rabbis noted, says, some of your glory, not your entire glory. And that there was a great distinction between Moshe and Yehoshua and Joshua. And here we find that the Gemara relates that after Yehoshua succeeded Moshe, the elders of the generation said, "Pnei Moshe ki pnei chama," the face of Moshe was like the face of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua kipnei levana, and the face of Yehoshua is like the face of the moon. That Yehoshua was only but a reflection of the great magnificence of Moshe Rabbeinu. To which the elder said, Oy la lo ta busha, oy la lo ta chlima, woe for this shame, woe for this humiliation. Which understood on a superficial level means, ay, look how we've fallen. Moshe, he was like the sun, and Joshua, well, he's just like the moon. We're stuck with second best. You can even call the moon the second best. We need to understand this statement of the elders. What do they mean to say? Almost like a put down, right? Moshe is like the sun. Joshua, it happens to be reality, okay. But what do we mean by that? Oy lo ta busha, oy lo ta chlima. Woe for that shame, woe for that humiliation. What are we to learn from what the elders are saying? What does this mean on a much deeper level? That's our second question. More specific questions is what the Ber Yosef of Yosef Salant in 4 notes. He says the whole selection is fraught with difficulties. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu in verse 16 refers to God as Elokei Haruchot L'chol Basar, God of the spirits. That's a very strange name to refer to God. It's usually God. This reference to God who is the God of the spirits of all flesh. Clearly we need to understand Moshe Rabbeinu's request, which seems to repeat itself. Who shall go out before them, come in before them. Who shall take them out and bring them in. Well, isn't that basically saying the same thing? What do we mean by this double language? That we need to understand. And finally, asked the Ber Yosef, we need to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking in a language of a mashal, a language of an imagery here. They shouldn't be like sheep that have no shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly is getting very poetic on us, right? In describing what he's looking for to God, his description is a sheep without shepherd. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu using this description? So the Ber Yosef, in responding to these questions in a lengthy essay, which we will do selections of, really develops an understanding of where Moshe was at, what he wanted from Yehoshua. And it gives us the broad strokes perspective to understand what it means, a person of spirit, that we can then further develop and paint a picture of what a Jewish leader is all about. The Ber Yosef notes in Source 5 that Moshe Rabbeinu is not worried that God's going to appoint a leader or not. He knows God's going to appoint a leader. What is his whole request about? His whole request is that he wants a specific type of leader for the people, and that is, Shimaneh lehem manhi kazeh sheyebo shtei hamidot hafichiyot. He wants a leader that's going to have two almost opposing qualities. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is being so demanding here and so insistent here. He says, I'm not just asking for a leader, God. I'm asking for a leader of a very specific sort. One, Shiyeish Ram Hama'ala V'godel HaRuach Kira'ui La'adat Hashem. First of all, these people need an exalted, spiritual, lofty leader. Someone who's really going to be a person you can look up to, a person of great spiritual qualities. But that's not enough. Gam midat hafechi, that he has to have a second quality too. Shiuchel le'red la'am v'lizdakek l'drishotav ha'gashmi'im v'tzrachav ha'chomra'im. You also have to be able to deal with the people, a leader, who's going to be able to deal with their personal requests as well. Sometimes you can have great leaders who are brilliant, brilliant scholars, but they have one problem. It's called relating to the people. It's called dealing with the people where they are at. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, it almost seems to be one is an antithesis of the other, but it's that combination is what we need. Someone who's going to be spiritual and brilliant and lofty and up there in the clouds, but at the very same time, as much as they are up in the clouds, they're going to have to be down here on earth and going to have to be dealing with the people. And that, says the Be'er Yosef, was the difference between Moshe and Yahushua. Because he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who knew himself that he was so up there in the clouds that he had difficulty in this respect in dealing with the people. And that's how he explains the story we spoke about a number of weeks ago when the people are crying for meat and Moshe Rabbeinu says that I give birth to these people. How do you expect me to get meat? I'd rather die. Rabbi Yosef explains the story by saying, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm on a level of the man. Right? We spoke about last week that the man was in the merit of Moshe. The man was spiritual food. The man made them smart. The man made them able to absorb Torah. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the level I'm on. I'm on a level of angels, on the spiritual food of angels. You expect me to come down from that level and do what? Feed them meat? He says to them, this is based on the Malbim misunderstanding, Hayalo l'Moshe marmi mavet, this is worse than death. You expect me to come down from this high, lofty level to feed the people? I can't do it. I need help, Moshe. That's the 70 elders to help him. And that's how the Be'er Yosef continues and explains the story of last week of May Mariva. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get angry and he hit the rock instead of speak to the rock? It was also this frustration. The people want water and he's at a point of saying, what do you mean you want water? I mean, grow up already. You know, like, we've gone through this already. Says the Be'er Yosef, it's not chas v'shalom in a negative way, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't get us wrong. It was just that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a level where he himself realized that, you know, the petty needs of the people are really, they're beyond him. He's on a level that's up there in the clouds. It's a level of being able to be on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights and not eat anything. He was angel-like in many respects. So to teach the people and to be the guide of the people, that he was able to do. It's almost the imagery, the Be'er Yosef doesn't bring it down, but it seems almost the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu having a veil whenever he spoke to the people and removed the veil to speak to God. That's almost the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was that distance between himself and between the people. And that's why, as soon as Hashem says to him, you know, Moshe, you go up to this mountain, you'll see Israel, but you won't go in because of May Meribah, because of the story of hitting the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu immediately says, yes, I agree with you. It was that story of hitting the rock is really indicative of the whole struggle almost that Moshe Rabbeinu has with the people. And again, had they gone into Israel on a totally supernatural level, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the perfect leader. But the people were demanding the level of nature. The people were demanding meat. The people were demanding the world of Teva. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that is not where I am at. And that is why he asks on the next page for a leader who's going to have that quality which he knows is so important for the people. And that's why, with the asterisk is, he speaks about the concept of Ruach. Because the concept of Ruach is the concept of the ability to join together almost the two opposing aspects that are found within a person. State Shibriyat Adam in the creation of man, Shilev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam et HaRuach Shu Echelek Elokam Imal. We have part of us which is the spirit, which is the godly part of us. And we also have Im HaBasar Shu Afar Min HaAdamah, our flesh which definitely comes from the earth. Umishneihem yachad, it's a combination of both. Yerkiva bara Hashem et Adam, that God created the world. Kidei sha'ayidei haruach v'neshama yitaleh b'malot haruchniyot, that we have the ability through our spiritual aspects to achieve tremendous amounts in the spiritual realm. But it's through the guf, it's through the body, through the limbs, with this ruach that we're able to be involved in Torah and mitzvot. And that is the concept that we almost need to have here. We need to have a person of ruach, a person who's able to combine both the chelek elokami ma'al, both the spiritual aspect, with the person who's able to l'shalevet there, to join this with the physical aspect in order to serve God. Not just somebody up in the sky, up in the clouds, but somebody very much rooted down on earth as well. It's that combination that we're looking for. And that explains the Ber Yosef is this repetition who's going to come out with them, come out before them, come in before them, who shall take them in and bring them out. He says the first description of coming before them, coming in before them and out before them, it's on a spiritual level. And the second one is on a physical level. Why the repetition, which seems to be the same thing? Because you need a leader who's going to spiritually lead them, as well as a leader who's going to physically lead them. And that, says the Ber Yosef, is the imagery that we should have on the Adat Hashem, on the congregation of God, which is a lofty level. He says they need to have a leader, so they shouldn't be like sheep that have no shepherd. What is the connotation of sheep? According to this interpretation, sheep represents the physical aspect, the basar. That not only is there going to be a leader for the Adat Hashem, for the congregation of God, who's going to need a spiritual leader, but he furthers this with the imagery. That would have been enough for request. He said, no, they shouldn't be sheep without a shepherd, because a sheep represents the physical. That's what meat is all about, the good old lamb chops, right? The physical aspect that need what? That need a leader as well. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's request. With this, we can understand the Gemara, which speaks about the elders saying, "Oy lo ta busha, oy lo tachlima." Because when Moshe died, they realized that, you know what? What was the whole reason that we have Joshua now and we don't have Moshe? It's because we demanded from Moshe that we should be on a physical level. If we had but lived up to Moshe Rabbeinu's expectations of us, if we weren't so demanding of wanting to have meat, if we weren't so demanding of what our requests are all about, and appreciated Moshe Rabbeinu for who he was, and we met that challenge of trying to become more spiritual people rather than physical people, so then you know what? We would still have a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu. When they're making that comparison between Moshe and Yahushua, it's really not so much a negative reflection on Joshua and Yahushua as much as a negative reflection on whom? On themselves. Oy lo ta busha, oy lo tachlima. How embarrassed and humiliated we are that we drove the generation. We were the ones that brought it down from the level of Moshe to Yahushua. That Moshe was forced to ask God, you need somebody like a Yahushua, ish asher ruach bo, a person who's able to combine the spiritual as well as the physical, to go down to the level of the people. That's the overall construct of the Ber Yosef. It's a person who's going to be able to work on both levels with the people. Final point is Ber Yosef before moving on. That's how he explains the Elokei Rucho Lecho Basar based on Rashi, that God, you know the workings of every single person. You understand the knowledge, the concepts, the thoughts of every single person. You're the one who's going to have to find a leader who's going to be able to deal with every person, a leader who's going to be able to work this fine balancing tightrope almost between the spiritual and the physical needs of the people. This is the model of leadership for the Jewish people. It's not an easy call. It's not an easy call. A spiritual person and someone very much involved in this world. Let's take a look at each of these models for a number of moments. Let's work on the model first of the leader has to be very much involved with the people. And this, Matnas Chaim, Rav Solomon, speaks about in Source 16.
He says the concept of asher yotziyim v'asher yiviyim, that will bring them in and will come out, is she'im sho'alim et da'atam v'etzotehem. If someone's going to ask them for advice, they know how to bring out every single individual based on the advice that they need as an individual. It's not just a question of knowing the needs of the person, but you need to know the needs of the person, each individual person, where they are at. That is the model of bringing them in and bringing them out, each and every individual on the level that they are at. There's a wonderful story that's told about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish once had a student who was having trouble getting married. So he calls over all his Tamidim together and says, okay, this is your project. Drop everything. Find a girl for this guy. So the friends drop everything. They make phone calls and they search high and low and behold, they find a girl for this young man. And they came in and told the Chazon Ish, we did it. The Tanaim, the engagement is tonight. Chazon Ish says, please tell me, exactly when it is, when everyone's seated, and I'll come in and I want to join these Tanaim. This was a big, big simcha. So two students come knocking on the Chazon Ish's door. Everyone was present. They're ready to start the Tanaim. And the Chazon Ish says, wait a minute, have a seat. Chazon Ish was involved with something. What was he involved with? So the two students are listening. There was a couple sitting in front of the Chazon Ish, and the couple was going through a list. Should we buy this? Yes, no. If no, they crossed it off the list. If yes, how much should we pay for it? Where should we get this? And they go through hundreds of items on a list, asking each question. Yes, no, if yes, what's the price? So we buy it cheap, should we buy it expensive? And the boys are sitting there saying, hello, you wanted this engagement party tonight? You're involved in this shidduch? Like, let's get moving here. What are you doing? And the Chazon Ish just ignored them and went through over an hour sitting with these people. So finally, an hour, they thanked him profusely and they got up to leave. And the Chazon Ish said, okay, now I'm ready to go to tonight. He said, I'm sure you're wondering why I held everyone up for this. So let me explain it to you. He said, this young couple just survived the war from the concentration camps, moved to Israel, and they're opening up a store. And they have very little money to invest. And they want to know how to invest, what to buy in this store, that every item that they should invest is going to have to be money well spent. So since I can't help them financially on this project, at least I can help them with what? With my advice. So I went through every single item they wanted to buy to help them whether they should buy it or not. This, my friends, is exactly what we're talking about. You want to know what a Manhig Yisrael is, a leader of the Jewish people? It's not someone who can give great classes. That's very nice. It's not someone even who can help marry off a student. That's also very nice. You know what a Manhig Yisrael is? That you can sit with a couple and go through an inventory of a store and give advice, yes, you should buy this, no, you shouldn't buy this. That's how we're talking about bringing them in and taking them out. Being able to lead them on an everyday level, should I buy this item or should we buy this item? Should we pay this amount or should we pay that amount? That's what we're talking about, a Manhig Yisrael. That's what we're talking about, taking them in and taking them out. Someone who's very much in touch with where the people are at. And that's how Rashi defines this person on the next page who has Ruach Bo, Shiyuchau La'lo Keneged Ruchau Shokol Achad V'Achad. He's capable of adapting himself to each person in accordance with that individual's personality. Every person needs to be treated differently. Every person needs that individual attention. So then Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis asks a very, very beautiful and very, very important question. He says, well, how does one find it within himself to be an Ish Asher Ruach Bo? How does one cope with the uniqueness of the individual while leading the nation as a whole? This is a very difficult challenge, to be able to deal with every single person where they are at. Anyone in a teaching situation or any type of leadership situation knows it's much easier to focus in on the group than on the individual. So how are you able to accomplish it? So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz gives a very powerful answer. And it's really, again, we're speaking here about models of leadership for life. The Sichos Musar quotes a very famous, challenging Gemara about Hosea the prophet, the first one of what we call, quote-unquote, the minor prophets, the Treasa. The Medrash says, this is 18, that Hashem told Hosea, your children have sinned. God comes to Hosea in a prophecy and says, you know, Panecha Chatu, your children have sinned. To which Hosea should have replied, they are your children, they are the children of your favorite ones, sons of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, have mercy upon them. But he didn't say that. What did Hosea then say? Master of the world, the whole world is yours. Hachlifein b'umacharet, exchange them for another people. You're not happy with them? That's okay. So go find another people. To which the Holy One said, what shall I do with this old man? I will tell him to marry a harlot and bear children of harlotry. Then I will tell him to send her away. If he is able to send her away, I will be able to do so to Israel. What happened? Hosea proceeded to do so. And God had told him. He had two boys and a girl. Separate yourself from her, said he. Master of the world, I have children by her. I cannot expel or divorce her. Said the Holy One, if this is the way you feel about your wife who is a harlot, and your children are possibly yours, possibly somebody else's, certainly I feel that way about Israel, who are my children. Now, it's not up for us to talk about today. This is a separate discussion. Did he actually marry her, and they physically had children? Or was this all going on in prophecy, and in prophecy he married her? It's really irrelevant for our discussion. It's a fascinating conversation, though, that God would tell a prophet to take a zona, a harlot, have children with her, in order to teach him this lesson that you just can't get rid of the people like that. What are we to learn from here? So Rav Chaim Shulevitz says the following. This is our point for today in 19. Here Chazal teach us the degree of tolerance that a leader must have for his people. It is only by considering them his children that he can cope with their individual needs, characteristics, and idiosyncrasies in the way that a father relates to all his children, as disparate as they may be. And that's why in 21, why could he not consider Israel as his children? After all, a prophet is like a father to his people, as Elisha explained when he mourned Eliyahu the prophet, Father, Father. The answer is that a father's love is begotten by the work and sacrifice on behalf of his children. One comes to love another person as a result of giving to him and not, as mistakenly thought, as a result from receiving from him. Hosea lacked this prerequisite of a father's love. He had never toiled or endangered himself for Israel. He could not possess, therefore, the follower's tolerance. Only one who gives and becomes a father, and only a father that has patience and forbearance to tolerate all his children's shortcomings and wrongdoing. I think this is a very beautiful insight. What is the secret of being a leader, of Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a person who has spirit within him, who's able to deal with every single person where they are at? There's one key, says the Sichos Moser. It's not to look at them as people. It's to look at them as children. And if you look at them as children, so then you know that even if your kids are very different, and we all know that some kids are very needy kids in the family, and some kids almost like fly through life and never, you know, call you once on Mother's Day. Hello, how are you? But whatever child you may have, it's still the same amount of love that's given for every child, the same amount of patience for every child. If you look as a teacher or as a person involved in the community, as not all these people who are trying to get my time, but rather this is an opportunity to give to each one where they are at, as a parent would give to the child, so a parent makes time for children. And that's how a leader has to feel for his children. And as we know, 23 of the Gra is that when you teach your children, it has to be chanoch lanar al pi darko. It has to be on the level where the children are at. Guide a child according to his basic nature to do mitzvot. When your approach is in alignment with his personality, who's continuing this positive path his entire life. If, however, you try to force someone to act in a way that is inconsistent with his basic nature, he might listen to you in your presence out of fear. But as soon as you escape your authority, he will turn away from what you have taught him. And that's the key with the leader, to deal with every single person where they are at. That's the first level. The model of a person who combines both, that will take them in, that will take them out, is to deal with every single person where they are at, like a parent deals with a child. The second characteristic that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for is the characteristic of somebody who's on a high spiritual level. And that, too, is found hinted at, Ish Asher Ruach Bo. And that's in the Matnat Chaim, quoting the Sabbath from Narvaduk in the Madrega Sa'adam. And he says something very beautiful. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want a person who's going to know every single person, who's going to be able to deal with every person on the level that they are at, to have compassion for every person on the level that they are at, that's not the quality, or that's not the approach of a quality you need to look for. How are you going to find a person who's going to be a good leader? Let's take a look. 25. Omer ani lecha ein ata yodea tasod. You don't know the secret. What's the secret? Hasod hu. The secret is ish asher ruach bo, a person who has a spirit within them. The them, the bo, is highlighted. Lo trichim uchot lecho basari. Dehainu. Sheyesh bo ruach liyod manhig al atzmo. He knows how to rule himself. Hu bodek et atzmo, he's able to constantly examine himself. Umoshel v'sholet al atzmo v'amidotav, and he has the ability to rule over himself and his midos. A person who is not going to be blown, so to speak, by the wind, by different forces and pressures that may come upon this person from all different signs, but a person who really knows where they are at, who they are, and the correct path to go on. A person who's Moshel al tivo v'midotav, such a person who's able to rule himself, ish asher ruach bo, he has within himself the spirit. He has that ability to control self. That's the person you're looking for. Because that's not a person who's going to be easily moved by the sways of time. This is the person who knows where they are at in their relationship with God, where they are at in this world, and are going to be a successful person. Believe, it was said about the Brisker Rav, but I could be wrong. Story told about some rabbi who on his first day job into a major city, a poor woman comes to him and says, a rich man in town owes me money, I'd like you to bring him to a Beis Din, to court of law. So the rav, this is his first day in town, calls this rich man, sends a messenger and says, I'd like you to appear before a Beis Din, somebody has a complaint against you. So the rich man sent back with a messenger, I don't need to get involved with such silly stupidities of life, I'm not coming. So the rabbi sent another same messenger back and says, call to a Beis Din, please show up. And the rich man says, do you know who I am? I'm one of the richest men in town. You're just starting out here, fellow. This is not worth starting up with me. And send that back to with the messenger. Messenger is sent back a third time by the rabbi, who says, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your bank account looks like. If you're supposed to be called to a Beis Din, you're going to show up at this Beis Din. To which the man appears, and he says, Mazel Tov. He said, this was a test. We were testing you to see how strong you were, that you were able even to start up with a person like me. Now you're officially appointed as a rabbi of this city. This is what we're talking about here. Someone who's not afraid of the influences around them, not afraid of the people around them, someone who knows that this is Derech HaTorah. This is the way of Torah. If someone's wrong, you need a Beis Din, you need a court of law, that's where it's at. This is Ish Asher Ruach Bo. This is the person that we're speaking about. And we know this is one of the qualities that is mentioned in the mission and ethics of the father of Ezu Gibor HaKodesh et Yitzro, who is strong, he who subdues his evil inclination. As Rabbi Bunim Ethics from Sinai points out so beautifully, who is strong, says Ben Zoma, is he who can control his desires, he who can say no to his passions that are indigenous to him. That every person has different passions that are going to be for every person. You have to be a person who can control self, who knows self well enough to control it. That's why he notes in 29 throughout the Talmud and Medrash there are continual references to the war with the evil inclination. For it's indeed a constant battle that the human being must wage against an enemy that is sly as he is strong, as clever as he is resourceful. That is why Ben Zoma uses the present tense. He who subdues his passion. A person must be ever ready to struggle and resist. Each day presents a new challenge and a new attack. This is the second quality found in a leader. It's the ish asher ruach bo, a person who knows themselves well enough to know the battlefield that they're dealing with, to be able to overcome those evil inclinations, to have a real sense of self. It's not easy, my friends. Most of us do not know ourselves well enough. Most of us do not. To know where the battles are at, to be able to fight them, and to really be on a straight path in terms of a relationship with self and where we are at in this world. This, my friends, presents some models of leadership in general. The model of someone who has the ability to look at every person as a parent-child relationship
and has the ability to control self, that you're able to deal with the needs of the people and yet be concerned with the spiritual aspects, the aspects of self-growth and a relationship with God. How do you reach this level? What was it about Yehoshua that made him worthy of having Ish Asher Ruach Bo? After all, he was not the greatest of the people there. What was it about him that allowed him to have this dual nature to him? What was Yehoshua's secret? And I think to understand Yehoshua's secret, he's giving us a glimpse in what would be the secret of our own personal successes in life. And that is one thing which we will develop very briefly, 31. In Parashas Ki Tisa, the Torah refers to an individual who went to Moshe's tent seeking the divine word as a Mevakesh Hashem, one who seeks the word of God. Yehoshua was a classic Mevakesh, unrelenting in its clinging to his teacher and his diligent guarding of the fruit of Torah as he toiled to attain understanding in all his breadth and depth. Because he was such a Mevakesh, he was privileged to succeed Moshe to transmit the Torah to the next generation. And this is the model that our rabbis tell us in Source 30. It's a very beautiful model of Yehoshua. Torah tells us that Yehoshua never left the tent of Moshe. Yehoshua has served you exceedingly and honored you exceedingly. He would arise early and remain late in the study hall. He would arrange the benches and spread out the mats. Since he served you with all his ability, it is fitting that he serve Israel, for he should not forfeit the reward due him. It's very interesting to note, in this imagery of Yehoshua, it's not just an imagery that he sat by Moshe Rabbeinu all day and all night learning Torah. What did he do? He set up the benches, he set up the mats. This is the quality we're looking for, and this is what the Be'er Yosef notes. This is the combination. He's sitting there learning Torah day in and day out, but at the same time, what is he doing? He's worried about where are the people going to sit, where are the people going to be when they're learning Torah. This is somebody who's involved in learning, but at the same time involved in what? In the needs of the people. That's the combination that we're looking for. And this idea of being a Mevakesh Hashem, being one who searches God, one who's there 24 hours a day to learn from God, can be understood on two levels. On one level, it's the concept that our rabbis tell us of Gedolah Shemushah Shel Torah Yoter Milumudah. Greater is the service of a Talmid Chacham, of a great scholar, than the actual learning. The first component Yehoshua had is, you can't possibly learn Torah from books alone. And this is where Judaism differs from most, if not all, other wisdoms and philosophies of this world. If you want to be great in any other place, so then all you have to do is read books, sit in a library, seclude yourself for years, and then you will have that discipline down. That's not Judaism. Judaism has to be a live model. Greater is the service of Torah than the actual learning of Torah. You need to be around great people to see how they act. And as the Musar Nevi'im points out here, in one respect why this is so, is because, for example, the Torah never tells us about midos, about what quality traits you should have, being nice, being getting angry. The Torah doesn't tell you about these things. And one of the reasons for that is because you can't. It really depends on the situation. Sometimes you have to be nice, and you know what? Sometimes it demands that you're not nice, and that's part of life. You can't read that from books, my friends. There's no list. Here be nice, here don't be nice. Here get angry, here don't get angry. How do you learn such things? You learn such things from watching great people. You know, you read these Gedolim books, you say by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha, how, you know, all these people used to have drivers that used to drive them. And that's one of the most enviable positions you could be in, to be a driver of these people, because you learn so much about them. So you have by Rabbi Yaakov, for example, the famous story where he was driving in the car and there was a bus that was trying to get through, you know, had the turn signal to get through from the bus lane into major traffic, and the driver was trying to beat the bus. I'm giving this example because it's very common to our lives. And Rabbi Yaakov says, what are you doing? He says, we're just two people. Do you know how many people are on that bus? Let the bus go first. There are more people that need to get to where they're going than the two of us. See, that's Gedolah Shemusha Shel Torah Yoter Milimudah. That's the learning from the Torah. Second example, it's less practical in Los Angeles, but if you visit back east, it becomes more practical, that they also give is by a toll booth, where Rabbi Yaakov would insist that you should go to a person rather than, like, say, the easy pass or, you know, in the old days of dropping the money in the bucket, because if people are there, and that's their parnasa, so you're going to pass up a human being for what? For a machine?
say hello to the person, talk to the person, make the person feel worthy that they shouldn't think that a machine is greater than a person. This is learning from people that's even greater than the learning of Torah. And I'll just add on a personal level, my husband loves to do this in terms of making excuses why to be by a great person just to learn from them. So he once did this with Reb David Lipschitz, where he came to Reb David Lipschitz, the Kronel Bracha, who was a great, great, great person, real Hadras Panim, Erev Shabbos, and he said to him, the cafeteria is closed, I have nowhere to eat tonight. So Reb David says, okay, come to my house. Great, that's wonderful, which is exactly what he wanted. So he went to Reb David's house, and he said that he learned from Reb David that when he'd sing Shalom Aleichem Friday night, he would dance in the living room to greet the angels. So that's what he does now with Rachel, and we have Orchim as well, when we have guests, he dances with them in the living room. This is something that you can learn about from people that you don't read in books. This is something that we don't involve ourselves enough with in life. This is the Gedola Shimush Shel Torah. You're involved in watching great people, you learn a lot more about what being Jewish is all about than just books. That's Yoshua. Yoshua never left Moshe's side. It's not enough just to read the Torah. You gotta watch a person. You gotta watch the way a person interacts. That's the greatness of a person. The second aspect and the final aspect of Yoshua, this aspect of being a Mevakesh Hashem, is found in the Sforno. The Sforno's definition, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, is very fascinating Sforno. A man in whom is spirit, who is prepared to receive the light of the living king's countenance, similar to, and in the hearts of all that are wise, I have put wisdom. Where does the Sforno saying here something very beautiful? Explain to Sichus Musar, the Sforno's words. He says the following. He says, a chacham lev, a person who is great in wisdom, or wisdom of the heart, is one who is ready to accept God's countenance, God's glory, which means a person has to himself want to be kulohu mivakesh v'shoef litalot yoter v'yoter. A chacham lev is a person who desires to learn more, desires to be as smart as he can be, but not smart in terms of book knowledge, to really know and grow as much as he can possibly be. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu responds by giving that person wisdom. Ish Asher Ruach Bo, the Sforno is saying, is a person of spirit, is a person who desires to know as much as he can, and really begs the Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me out in being the best person I can be. It's a person who has such she'ifa, a person who has such ambition, that's the person that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to choose. It may not be the person who IQ-wise or knowledge-wise may be the smartest person. Ish Asher Ruach Bo, the quality that Yoshua had is the quality to desire knowledge. The quality of looking for more and more opportunities to learn. Of the quality of Yoshua who moved himself to be right at the foot of Har Sinai in order that when Moshe Rabbeinu would come down, he wouldn't have to wait even an hour to see his Rebbe. He'd be right there. He wasn't there during the Chet HaEgel, right? He says, I hear noise, it could be the noise of war going on. He wasn't even in the camp. He didn't want to miss a minute of being close to his Rebbe. This is a person who's a Vakesh Hashem. This is a person who had real spiritual thirst to fill himself up as much as possible and ask Hashem to help him be filled up. This is the model we clearly know of Esu Chacham, who is the wise one, is Halomei Mikol Adam, one who learns from everybody. As Rabbi Bunim points out on this Mishnah in 40, the essential point of Ben Zoma's observation is that ultimately wisdom is not any one fixed body of knowledge, some definite thing that can be possessed once and for all. Wisdom is not a permanent quality to lock away and retain in treasure vaults of the mind. The day a person stops acting wisely to acquire wisdom, he is no longer wise. This is the she'ifa that Yoshua had, and this is the way Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in his first essay in Tavshin Lamed Aleph, describes the thirst a person has to have for learning. And he quotes in 41 a beautiful Chassid Yavetz who says that when our rabbis speak about v'hevei shoteh b'tzamat divreihem, you should drink with thirst their words. He says that's how you have to approach Torah.
when you're thirsty, you will drink and drink and drink and appreciate every drop. A person who wants to come closer to God, who wants to learn more, will never say, oh, I heard this already. I learned this already. Oh, this is old stuff already. You've lost it. Because you're a different person. So when you're learning this again, I personally find this when I teach the same shiur 4 times during the week. Every time I teach it, it changes. Every time I teach it, you have different insight in what you're teaching. Because that's what growing is all about. Growing is the process. To say, and this is such an avla that we have with so many people, particularly I have this with students, oh, I heard this story already. Oh, you're not teaching me anything new. That is a lack of a quality of Mavakesh Hashem. Let me listen. There'll be a new insight here I never heard before. And I think this is a wonderful thing to challenge ourselves with. Ask ourselves, are we like Yoshua Mavakesh Hashem? Do we really strive to learn more? And a wonderful challenge to do, even for a week or a couple of days, is to walk around with like one of those small binders, you know, those notepads, and have 3 columns. People, events, general knowledge. And ask ourselves every day, well, what have I learned from the people around me? What have I learned from the events around me? And what general knowledge have I learned today? And to really ask ourselves at the end of the day, have I really learned today? How have I grown as a person? Have I changed as a person? It's a wonderful exercise because I think you'll find something fascinating. I think what you'll find is that you're not going to be able, you'll be hard-pushed to really fill up all those columns. And that's something, if we train ourselves to say the world around me is a laboratory to learn, to grow from all the people I meet, and that every single person has what to teach me in this world, and the events around me have what to teach me, and there's so much out there that I can learn, such a person's whole philosophy is a philosophy of growth. That's the philosophy of Yeshua. And that gets us to our final point for today. What does it mean that the elders complained that woe to this humiliation? So it says the Chafetz Chaim, he says, the Chafetz Chaim, however, the bottom left source, understood the elders' words in an entirely different sense. True, Yoshua's luster paled beside the brilliance of Moshe, but they now realized that he was at least a moon, a reflection of Moshe's brilliance, and had outshone them all to become the nation's leader, though initially many others had seemed more worthy of this role. Yoshua surpassed everyone because he was the greatest Mavakesh of all. If only they had striven and struggled as he did, woe for the shame, woe for this humiliation. I think this is the beautiful insight. The elders now, in retrospect, say, hey, you know what? We could have been there. We could have been in the place where Yoshua is today. Because at least Yoshua reached the level of a moon, of attaining some aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's brilliance. And we had that same ability. We were also there. Why didn't we take those opportunities? We were missing the quality that Yoshua had, the quality of being Mavakesh, the quality of constantly trying to work at something, constantly learning, not sitting back, not a laissez-faire attitude in life, not an apathetic attitude in life. How can I be a different person today? How can I grow today? How can I change from where I was yesterday? We need to have that attitude. That has to be the overwhelming aspect of our lives. So I think, in conclusion, what we see from this parasha is something very, very, two very, very beautiful points for life. One is the quality of leadership. It's a quality which is really described in this imagery of a shepherd leading his sheep. The concept of a shepherd who, on the one hand, is removed from his people, an isha sher ruach bo, a person who has a tremendous amount of self-control, spiritual vision in this world, but he's also able to lead the sheep, each and every sheep where they are at, each and every person on the level that they are at, the coming and the going. This is the first quality we need to look for within leaders. The second thing we need to see, and this is really not only in terms of leaders, but in terms of life, what makes a person special, what makes a person a cut up above the rest, it's not brilliance, my friends. It's not the IQ that you were given at birth. There's nothing you can do with that. It's what makes you special is, are you a mevakesh? Are you someone who seeks? Are you someone who constantly says, I want to learn more? I want more opportunities to watch great people and how they act. I want more opportunities to learn from the people around me. I want to ask questions. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be somebody who can be filled with as much knowledge as possible. The Sforno's image where he says, I want to learn as much as I can, and then God fill me with the rest. I want to be a constant mevakesh Hashem. Someone's constantly searching out God. And I think that's the bracha that we need to challenge ourselves with.
to constantly ask ourselves, are we learning? Are we growing? Are we able to be the Isha Sheruach Bo, the person who has a spirit within them, who shouldn't look back after 120 years and say, Oy lo tovu sha, oy lo to chlima, what we could have achieved if we weren't so lazy. What we could have achieved if we weren't so apathetic. Look at the people around us, look at the opportunities we had in our lives. If we only were able to take them and run with them, we'd be able to have the brilliance of Yeshua's reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu.